Okay, we're back again for the second hour of the two-hour commercial-free special dealing with Comet Holmes. Now, this hour I'm going to begin by talking about some of the very strange aspects of the reporting on comets. And as you'll see, as I weave through the history of this, in the background, of course, there are good scientists doing their work diligently. Not all scientists are causing problems. But on the other hand, there are a few bad apples out there, and they're mixed in with what I believe is the wrong crowd. Now, you have to understand, in a sense, how the world works, who controls, and what their hot buttons are, what the things that motivate them, what the most important things in their life are. And this relates to science because the controllers of the world, as we call them, and I know the vast majority of people out there listening understand this, there are people today who control the media. They control the politics. They control the banks. They control the money. They control wars. They control just about every aspect of your life. And control is their game. They see themselves as what we call the uber rulers, the over rulers of the world. And when I wrote my book, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, one of the topics in that book deals with ancient science and its history coming up to modern day control by secret societies. And these secret societies have been in the background controlling for thousands of years, and a lot of the manipulation of wealth throughout history, and the control of even religions. It's amazing to see that these people have control of everything almost that goes on in the world today. And as I delved farther into this, as I actually in my business and science life started to encounter these people, they're very secretive people, and the thing that they hate worst about me is I expose them, I talk about them, and I get down to the root of their evil, and that's what they don't want the public to know about. Recently, I started talking about Baal worshippers. Now, when we talk about astronomy and in some cases the conditions of the planets as relates to the human condition, Mars figures into this because, as I said, it's very clear from the historical record that Mars lost its oceans and atmosphere to a passing comet, the same comet that affected Earth and devastated Earth much later in history. And a few thousand years ago, I don't put dates on those. Some people try and put dates on those events, but it's very difficult. But the point is that Earth had a tremendously devastating event. It did not pull the atmosphere and oceans off of Earth, but we had a tremendous pollution event. And of course, I talk about that in my books and in my other science work. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But the reason I want to mention Mars and Comet Holmes is because these secret societies, the people who are centralized in the banks, who control the governments, whose police force is out very actively controlling the world, they are Baal worshippers. They worship what they consider a god or a deity called Baal associated with Mars. And the whole history of that gets very complicated and convoluted. And it's not the topic of this show. The reason why I'm talking about it in a show dealing with Comet Holmes is because Comet Holmes is associated with Mars. And because the re-emergence of Comet Holmes is associated with its conjunction with the planet Mars, in terms of their belief system, Comet Holmes is a very significant event. And so you have to understand what makes these people tick, what signs they look for in the heavens, and the associations they make with these. So when I start exposing these people and their worship of false idols and using literally astrology, the movement of the stars and planets, to guide their life. Now let's take another little example. When the United States, which is its centralized government figures, are controlled by the same European bankers, when the United States moved into Iraq for the second Gulf War, of course, oil was a big motivation, but the real motivation for the timing, for the instant we have to go there now type of attitude, was Saddam Hussein's archaeologists had just discovered a major archaeological city underground, and they were digging it up, and these people worship those ancient archaeological secrets. And that's why the first thing the U.S. military did when they went into Iraq was they surrounded the oil fields, but the very first thing they did was go in and placed the secret society archaeologists in that city and start to gain control of that. They also went into the museums in Iraq, in Baghdad, which held some of the most tightly guarded archaeological secrets and treasures in the world regarding those ancient civilizations that lived in the Middle East, including Baal. So you have to understand the importance of this particular topic, and it's when I started talking about Baal on my radio show, my weekly radio show that airs out of WWCR 5.070 every Thursday evening, and also on the Internet Reality Radio Network, the same Internet carrier that is carrying this show this evening, tonight. When I first started bringing this up as a central theme and discussing it and informing the public about it, that's when I started to have some problems. I started to be followed on a more regular basis. The people following me became more confrontational. And it was very clear that I was talking about a topic that some people simply did not want aired to the public. So in my discussion over the next 5 to 10 minutes here, as I talk about the incredible disinformation ploys and the incredible efforts of these people to keep the public from understanding the true nature of comets in the history of man and its effect on man, that's when you're going to understand a lot of what's going on in the world today. They don't want you to know about the major event in history, which we call the Great Flood, but it was far more than a Great Flood. Of course, the water coming from the huge comet tail of the comet Venus, which eventually became the planet Venus, the hydrocarbons, the rain of fire and naphtha and brimstone, the meteor streams that came in from that huge comet, and of course described in detail by Velikovsky. That's why they went after Velikovsky, because he was describing a topic that they did not want the public to know about, so they had a smear campaign. That's why I'm getting a tremendous amount of flack lately. I am getting to the public. I'm also getting, as I said, to high-level scientists around the world, and they're understanding that my information not only is credible in the regarding the history of man, but it gives the scientific reasons for everything that we're seeing now and in history. And this is tapping into the very secret information that the secret societies consider their secret and do not want you to know about. And central to that is the worship of Baal. These people are not nice people. Baal, the entire central core issue with the Baal worshippers is that they are destroyers. They revel in anguish and suffering of the human race, and they revel in this. They want this to happen. They cannot see enough suffering. They want wars. They want pestilence. They want the public dumb so they don't know what's going on. That's their joy in life. So at any rate, I'm going to talk about the history of some of the things that have happened with me, and relative also to the Coast to Coast show when I was a guest back with Art Bell. And of course, my information has been on the internet since its inception, and it's been published in books. I've been a popular scientists throughout the world. My work has been known about. It's been published in Russia. It's been taught in the universities in Russia. And my work goes back to when I was at Cornell University. I was an instructor there years 1979 to 81, when I had access to space probe data. I was on site going to meetings daily where the space probe data was coming back from Jupiter and Saturn and Venus and probes to Mars and Mercury, and all this data was coming in, and I realized that it was confirming my already existing theoretical work regarding the plasma nature of the solar system, the electrical nature of the solar system. And as I said, I'm a very well-educated person. I have a master's degree in physics. And just as a side note, it's very disturbing to see imposters who claim to be, for example, physicists who have never taken physics courses, never been in a laboratory, never worked as a physicist, yet they try and call themselves a physicist. It's even more disturbing to see a show like Coast to Coast AM putting them up and carrying this fraudulent information and trying to pawn it off, plagiarizing other people's material. But this is, as I said, a credibility issue, and we are in a time now when all of the gloves seem to be coming off. There's a tremendous effort to smear true information, the truth, and an all-out effort to distort and change and create a dysfunctional information network for the public. So that is part of what's going on. But let's go back to the mid-1990s, as I was a guest on the Art Bell Show, the original Art Bell Show, and it was dealing with a comet called Hale-Bopp, huge comet which passed through the solar system for a period of about 6 years into, it was actually was still around in the, as we crossed over into the new millennium, into the 2000s. It's very unusual for a comet to last more than a couple days with visibility. So Comet Holmes, which has been around over a month, is very unusual. It's going to be with us for a very long time to come. And Hale-Bopp was around for over 6 years. Now, when Hale-Bopp was first discovered, information went out, just as with Comet Holmes, and astronomers around the world started to snap pictures. Two people in particular that got pictures, one of the names is Courtney Brown, and he got a picture from professional astronomers at the University of Hawaii. Another guy named Chuck Schrammick, who later passed away under very suspicious circumstances, was a radio talk show host in Houston, and I had been a guest numerous times on his show. In fact, I've got an archive of one of his shows on my webpage. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of the jmccsci.com webpage and follow the link, one of the links at the very bottom, you will find the Chuck Schrammick interview of me with Chuck, back in probably about 1995 or 96. But Chuck was an outspoken critic of NASA on radio, Houston radio stations. And he used to play my information regularly. We'd pre-record. But at any rate, Chuck was also an amateur astronomer. And when Hale-Bopp came into the solar system, Chuck went out in his backyard with his telescope, snapped a couple pictures, and determined with his pictures that Hale-Bopp had a companion. Courtney Brown's pictures showed the companion that he received from the University of Hawaii astronomers. I'm going to mention some names. Hal Weaver, Ollie Hainau. These were professional astronomers at the University of Hawaii, and those names are going to come up again when we talk about Comet Holmes. Weaver was the one who made the size measurement and published it for Comet Holmes, and as I said, it was corrupted and incorrect. So once again, the same person, we're going to find that corrupted data in the Hale-Bopp era, is now doing the same with Comet Holmes and has some new students that are trailing along in his footsteps. And it's my opinion that these people are very closely associated with the ruling secret societies, because those societies need astronomers, they need scientific people high in these positions. So it's very interesting to see the activity that went on. So let's go through the situation with Art Bell. Art Bell gets the two pictures of Comet Hale-Bopp with the companion, posts them on his internet page, and within a short amount of time, there is an alleged mass suicide in California amongst a group called Heaven's Gate. And here's actually what happened. It's a very long, involved story. Heaven's Gate was posted or billed as being a bunch of crazy cult members. And here's what actually happened. The Heaven's Gate people were very pure, very healthy people. They took very good care of themselves because they believed, whether you believe this or not, it doesn't matter, but they wanted to have their bodies in pristine condition because they thought that when a comet came in, they would be illuminated and brought up to a level where they would be, in a sense, reincarnated. Well, for a lot of us, that sounds crazy, but be that as it may, they were not suicidal. They were took very good care of their bodies. And the other part about the Heaven's Gate group is they were writing encryption software and producing firewalls that even the government could not crack. And so the government had told them to stop producing this software. Well, lo and behold, at the very same time, there was a company producing some software, and the final name of that software was Promise Software. It was being developed for the government, and it was to provide firewall and encryption software for the government. So at any rate, all of this is going on in the background, and the Heaven's Gate had a huge network of people, hundreds of thousands of people around the United States who literally started walking off their jobs and going to California to join them, and they were going to basically form a large group of people who were going to simply hold a meeting. Well, before any of this could happen, the last thing that the controllers want is a large group of people meeting and studying a comet that's coming into the solar system. Well, the end result was there was a mass murder. It was not a suicide, one of the biggest cover-ups, and they blamed Art Bell because he posted the pictures of Chuck Schrammick and Courtney Brown, which had the companion on Hale-Bopp. Shortly after, Hal Weaver and his buddy Ollie Hainau, professional astronomers at the University of Hawaii, took a picture approximately, we believe, about 11 hours later with the big telescopes there and doctored out the companion of Hale-Bopp and gave it to Art Bell, saying there is no companion, that Art Bell had posted phony pictures and was the cause of 37 people committing suicide. As I said, it was not a suicide, it was a mass murder. And so you see that the astronomers, coupled with a lot of other activity going on in the background, dealing with encryption, dealing with companies producing encryption and firewall software. What does this have to do with comets? What does it have to do with comet homes? Well, it has a lot to do with them because the scientific community was frantic. The Vatican hired a lot of professional astronomers, very quickly built an astronomical observatory in Arizona, and assigned those professional astronomers to determine if Hale-Bopp was in fact Wormwood or Nibiru or Planet X. So all of this was going on in the background. The whole issue was that they wanted to deny the fact that there was a companion, because if Hale-Bopp had a companion, that meant that it was big. It had a gravitational field large enough to hold a companion, and that was one of the things they did not want the public to even imagine or get close to. One of the biggest points of denial of the entire Hale-Bopp era was they said, oh, its nucleus was small, it was only about 40 miles across, when in fact it was very clear that the nucleus of Hale-Bopp was planetary size. It was large, probably about the size of our moon, the Earth's moon. And so all of this happened, and I want to mention some other names here, because the head of the company that produced the Promise software, his name was Bill Hamilton, And interestingly enough, he was married to a woman named Nancy, who, as we now understand, became a woman named Nancy Leader, who frequented the Coast to Coast show in the 2000 era and said she talked to aliens, made a story so crazy that even some of the most crazy people on the planet didn't found it crazy. But the point was, they wanted to build a story, a disinformation story, around Planet X. And she claimed that on May 15, 2003, there would be a huge orange ball in the sky, and that this would be Planet X, and it would be the end of the world. This was widely promoted on the Coast to Coast show, and of course, I was a regular guest there. I told people that there was no such thing as Planet X regarding this prediction. I said that there are many Planet X's and that they would take the form of a comet, not a large orange ball. Well, when 2003, May 15th rolled around, we found out that, in fact, there would be a very strange condition for a full moon, that it's the light from the Earth's atmosphere would bend, and for a brief amount of time, the moon would be orange. As it came up, a full moon over the West Coast and across Japan, and there was planned to be a mass suicide in Florida, in Wisconsin, and in Japan, and this was to be spread all over the newspapers to make the topic of Planet X crazy, and the idea would be, lady talks to aliens, has mass suicide, a James Jones type of event, but on a worldwide scale. And unfortunately, they used the Coast to Coast show to promote this during the same time on my weekly radio show, and wherever I could, I said that there was nothing coming on May 15, 2003. This was a hoax. And I also stated that this was a well-designed hoax that started in the mid-1990s, and it came out of the same group of programmers and disinformation specialists who were revolving around the Promise Software Group. So you have to understand that the same group that was involved in the murder of Heaven's Gate also was involved in the propagation of disinformation regarding Planet X. And now let's go back to some other names here. When Hale-Bopp was moving through the solar system, the Center for Comet Information is headed by a guy named Brian Marsden. And almost daily, we would see the ephemeris, that is the data information regarding Comet Hale-Bopp, would change. In other words, the comet's orbit was changing on a daily basis. One of the very first quotes that Marsden gave back in the mid-1990s, when Hale-Bopp was first discovered, was that it was so large there wouldn't be any perturbation or change in its orbit. But then it turned out to be changing on a daily basis. None of this was substantiated by the Dirty Snowball Comet model. So there was a lot of problems with Comet Hale-Bopp. My information was on the internet, I was on radio shows, and I was on a show with Art Bell one night where Whitley Strieber was co-host with Art, and we described in detail how they had been hoodwinked with these phony pictures of Hal Weaver and Ollie Hynow, and how the blame for the Heaven Gate deaths being blamed on Art Bell was a big phony story, and corroborating this story and the supporting it were the astronomers from the University of Hawaii, Hal Weaver and Ollie Hynow. So I'm mentioning names for a reason, because now you move forward into 2007, Comet Holmes explodes into brightness. Guess who's announcing the measurement of the size of the nucleus of Comet Holmes to be only 2 miles across? Our good friend, Hal Weaver. So, and then you find some other people are starting to associate with him. A guy that I knew, I actually respected him at one time as a very bright young scientist who made the first discoveries of X-rays in comets. And I'm not going to mention his name, because I think there's actually hope for this guy. But X-rays in comets are, it was one of my original predictions, which stated that there should be X-rays detected to the sunward side of comets due to the electrical discharge in the plasma discharge comet model, which was my comet model that I defined back in the 1970s. And these, in fact, in 1996 were discovered. Well, unfortunately, this scientist, I think, is marching down the wrong road, being associated or associating himself with the wrong people, and I'm not sure if he knows what kind of crowd he's getting into here. But at any rate, I wanted to go through this litany of people because when you're in this world of disinformation, you have to know who the players are. Now let's fast forward here to 2007, the Coast to Coast show, which is airing at the same time as this show. And the reason, one of the reasons why I'm putting this broadcast special up, 2-hour commercial free special at this time, because a number of imposters have been generating and trying to beat a drum and pretend like they're authors of the deceptively similar material as my well-documented scientific work. But let's see who's supporting them. These people don't exist in a vacuum. There's a lot of support coming from, guess who? NASA. And here's how it works. I'll describe, here's some names, and I'm going to go back to my early days at Cornell and go through some of the 1980s, once again, talking about specific people. When I was at Cornell, I was publishing my scientific papers in astrophysics journals about the electrical nature of the solar system and the various results that I had at that time, including the nature of comets, the nature of electrified conditions around planets and moons. And I got blackballed. What that means is you are the astronomers and scientists of the day wrote letters to the editors of journals and said, do not publish this man's material. And so essentially my paper started coming back where at first they were quite well received around the scientific community. And later I found out at the heart of this effort was a guy named Alex Dessler. He was the head of the chief editor of Astrophysical Journal Letters. And he, at the time, I believe, was residing in Texas. But at any rate, as I continue to publish, I'll tell you just a little story. 1986, I was at the one of the international conventions of scientists that meet around the world dealing with cometary phenomenon. And I was meeting with a NASA scientist and a guy named Jonathan Eberhardt, who is the news reporter for space science for a magazine called Science News. And we were at a sushi bar in San Francisco discussing my scientific work and how it related to recent discoveries of Comet Giacobini-Zinner. The lead scientist from the NASA group of scientists was there sitting with us, and we were discussing this. Later, Jonathan Eberhardt called me up and he said, you know, I know you're having a problem getting your material published, but I know an editor, and his name is Alex Dessler. Why don't you publish a topic or a paper that's simply a theoretical discussion of your work? Don't mention comets. Don't mention any other relationships to the controversial topics related to my work. He said, just do a pure plasma physics theoretical paper, which I did, and I sent it to astrophysical journals, and it came back unread, unopened. It had been read, and guess who was at the helm at that time? Our good friend Alex Dessler. And at that time also, I went to Los Alamos National Laboratory, gave a talk on my theoretical work. It was very well received by 50 of the top plasma physicists in the world. And the review of that work got back to Dessler, and he was infuriated. At that time, one of his students, named Anthony Parrott, was a young PhD who at the time became employed at Los Alamos. And they teamed up, over the years to continually block my work from being published. So now we fast forward to the year 2005, where they find a group of imposters who support Velikovsky, and not a, what I would call a group that I would ever want to be associated with. It's a long story, but anyway, Dessler and his student Anthony Parrott associate themselves with this group and start feeding them a picture a day from NASA files. So isn't it interesting now that a highly NASA-related astronomer and his student are now promoting and helping out on a daily basis a group that supports or claims to support Velikovsky, a very odd set of bedfellows, if you want to put it in those terms. So at any rate, that's where we stand today. And the whole point of this is that why would a person who was initially involved in the destruction of Velikovsky, why would that person now surreptitiously and through the back door support a group that claims to support Velikovsky? You start to see all of the connections of disinformation. One of the key methods of disinformation is to create a phony substitute group and then promote them, and that's what's going on right now. That's just one of the attacks on my good name and my work. So unfortunately, you find that very few people would post anybody with no credentials and put them up on a radio show and try and promote them. But who owns the radio show? Who's in the background, or who's in the production staff that keeps promoting phony people? And after I've been a faithful and very productive guest on a radio show like Coast to Coast over a 12-year period, why would all of a sudden they start promoting people that have no degrees, have not written the work they claim to have written, and start posting them as some kind of legitimate scientist or scientists, and do this without batting an eye? It's very bizarre, in fact, but this is the kind of thing that's going on today. There is an extreme level of urgency amongst the groups in the background in the standard astronomical community to get me out of the picture. And this is showing you how desperate they are, that NASA will promote a group that supports Velikovsky, something they're violently opposed to, but they hate me so much because I'm bringing real information to the public. Now, the reason I'm going off on this diversion from the scientific aspects of Comet Holmes is because you have to understand, when you pick up a newspaper, when you pick up a magazine, or you pick up an astronomy magazine, or you go on the internet and you go to one of the science sites that promotes government-supported science, or just one of the they seem to be neutral science sites on the internet. When you go to these, when you go to radio shows, when you go to internet pages that promote these same people, what you're going to find is who's putting that up there, who's promoting it, and what's the twist? What things do they not want you to hear about? And let's divert our attention just a little bit to some of the main weekday, very large talk show host shows. What are some of the topics they will never talk about and said openly they won't talk about? At the very top of the list is Planet X. And, of course, people don't want to talk about that. Why? Because the people who control these shows, that's their hot button. A lot of these shows are what we call information snares. In other words, they're there to pretend like they're supporting the public and giving information, but they're really there to find out who's thinking in that vein. It's called a fishing trip. You give out information that people want to hear, that want information, but then you then gather information on who is thinking along these veins. So it's a matter of, we call it a bait and net operation. In other words, let's take a topic like a political topic. You put out political information, people call in, they write in, they discuss it amongst themselves. And so by putting this information out on a radio show, you can actually gauge public sentiment and who's thinking in these terms about, you know, upsetting the status quo, so to speak. But at any rate, the reason I say that is because I want to bring up the point that there are certain topics that will not be discussed on these radio shows, the biggest topic being Planet X, or the idea that something can come into our solar system and wreak havoc with us. You'll find that a lot of the disinformation sites will take my information about comets and they will turn it either into crazy topics. We see this all the time when seemingly just average people down the street are trying to contact important people using my name and then trying to make up some crazy story or acting crazy. And this type of disinformation is going on constantly behind the scenes because, say, take a person like a high-level political figure that's breaking through and becoming a success. The last thing they want in the world is for someone like me to become associated with them because that attacks the power of the central core secret groups that run the operation, and these are people that are in the background that you never hear from. So the reason I'm giving this diversion of information, diversion from the main topic of Comet Holmes, is you have to understand when this level of effort is put into making a topic, bringing out totally false or diversionary information regarding a topic, you know that somebody is very interested in keeping you from understanding the truth. So where is this all going? I just want to make one other last mention that we've discovered. And a lot of the diversionary sources of information we have found come out of Oregon. There's a small centralized group, production staffs, radio shows, and not everything in Oregon is bad, and I don't want to imply that, but the ones that are spam centers, government spam centers, some of the biggest servers are related to these same people that we've been talking about, that host shows or radio shows or internet sites that draw a lot of traffic. These are all centered in Oregon and all controlled out of Oregon, and it's basically a large disinformation center up there that's creating this misinformation for the public. So where do we go from here after understanding the level of twisting information that comes out on radio shows and on the internet? One thing that throughout my career I've always remained true to my objectives, true to my science, and true to a policy of honesty and not associating with phonies or imposters or people who want to pick up somebody else's work and run with it. I believe that referencing is paramount, and so when I do my work, I'm meticulous about referencing prior work. That's the kind of thing. One of the biggest forms of plagiarism is not referencing people who came before you. So people that try and find excuses for not doing that are simply plagiarists. They're con men. And that's the best thing you can say about them. Comet Holmes is a new, small, forming planetary member of our solar system. It means that we could have larger entities coming in, and they will someday come in. And that's why I think a lot of this is going on now, a lot of the misinformation, a lot of attacks on me, my work, trying to put substitutes up in front of you to try and pretend like they created work that was similar to mine. And then we call this the parallel run and diversion, where somebody comes up, takes a line of information from someone, and then before you know it or while you're not looking, they're going 90 degrees in another direction, and there's the twist of misinformation. They know that you want to hear a certain topic, so they come in with a title or a topic, and they run this way with it long enough to grab your attention, and then all of a sudden they're over here and they're filling you with disinformation. It's one of the common techniques of disinformation. So you have to understand this. This is what's going on in the world. And the last thing they want you to really know is that the importance of Comet Holmes, it's not going to crash into Earth next week and do any damage, but it has affected our weather. And it will affect our weather as we move into the month of December. December 22nd, Earth, Mars, and Comet Holmes will have a fairly significant electrical alignment. And it has already affected weather on planet Earth. During the October 23 outburst of Comet Holmes this past year, or this past fall, 2007, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and the comet were electrically aligned, and there was a significant electrical current passing through the solar system, and it did affect our weather. The typhoons in the Pacific, very out of season. The November 6th Hurricane Noel, which passed up the eastern seaboard, and we had hurricane-force winds in Massachusetts. That storm then passed across the North Atlantic into the North Sea, north of Ireland and Britain, and caused tremendous storm and wind activity there, to the point they had to evacuate all the workers off the North Sea oil derricks. All of this occurring because of a small comet out beyond the orbit of Mars. The comet did not directly cause this. It was in conjunction with the new moon. It was in conjunction with the new moon, by the way, is one of the electrical triggers for Earth weather, and the alignment with the other three planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, and the small comet. All of this creating the same conditions that, as I said, in 1892 were present in the solar system. But at that time, the initial kickoff was done by the four-planet rare alignment, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. And then that was in October of 1892. And then on November 6th, and for the few days prior to that, Earth, Jupiter, and little comet Holmes moving right directly into that electrical path, causing the brightening where it was originally discovered in 1892. So the point is, the wide scope of things, we are in a very active solar system, and when I concentrate on misinformation, these scientists also have access to information that the average astronomer would not have. So are they aware of something bigger or more extensive that might be coming into the solar system? And they're pulling out all the stops at this point to try and move me out of the picture and move somebody else into the picture who's not going to talk about the real issues that are going to give you a powder puff copy of my work, and try and promote them, and as I said, get me out of the picture. Now, if you remember, I'm going to go back to the Art Bell days just a bit. And during that same Hale-Bopp era, there was a lot of activity attacking Art Bell and his personal life. He ended up creating a lawsuit to try and protect his good name, and they were coming at him from all directions. He eventually lost his radio show and then came back. And it's a whole bad era for the poor guy who had built up and became the biggest talk show radio host that the world had ever known. At that time, he was written up, I believe it was in Discover Magazine or possibly People Magazine, I can't remember. But he was on the cover, and at the time, 480 affiliate stations associated with his program. Back in the 90s, and literally a superstar of radio who had worked and paid his dues, but he was covering topics that they didn't want the public to know about. And he didn't know that. A lot of us at that time were not aware of the amount of pressure to keep those topics from the public. Now I'm fully aware of it. And that's why you have to be fully aware when something like little comet Holmes out there explodes into brightness, becomes bigger than the sun, literally, physically bigger than the sun in the size of its coma around the comet nucleus. that this is a very major event, that we have a planet forming in this solar system, and the biggest thing that the scientific communities do not want you to even think about is that exact event, that we have a new planetary member, because it leads to all of the wrong questions, the questions they don't want you to ask. What if it gets bigger? What's going to happen to it? What if it becomes a planetary moon, an associated moon with Mars someday? And how could this affect the Baal worshippers who are, you know, worshiping these astrological events, who have worship towards the planet Mars in very distorted view of the human race, with them as the leaders and you down here as the populations that are subject to their manipulation? You have to understand all of these concepts to understand why that little comet Holmes up in the night sky is such an important event, because when these happen, people look to the sky and they start asking questions. Just another sideline, I've talked about this many times on radio shows, that it also indicates there's so much energy passing by Earth in the solar wind that comes by Earth every day. There is so much energy that we do not have to use oil for energy. We don't need nuclear power. We don't need coal. We could run our entire society, industrialized society, with all the mobility that we have today. 99% of it could be run off of electricity that we can tap into, that's moving by our solar system every day. And there are methods to do this. So there's another reason why that's an extended question. That's a logical conclusion to understanding that there are energy systems, electrical energy systems in the solar system that in fact are right near us. We can tap into those. We don't need oil. We don't need to fight wars around the world for oil. The political control that oil brings is not necessary. So ask yourself, why do they not want you to understand about the electrical nature of the solar system? Why do they not want you to know about comets? Why is Comet Holmes just another light bulb going on stating that, in fact, these situations, the human situation, does not have to be the way it is today? Speaking of lighting up like a light bulb, comets light up for two reasons. One is because they have a dust cloud around them and they reflect solar light. But the other reason is because there is so much electricity flowing through the comet that it literally lights up like a light bulb. And that was one of the reasons why Comet Holmes was also so bright. And astronomers just don't like to talk about that little fact. It was a very controversial fact and a controversial concept dealing with comets back in the mid-90s, when, of course, they still thought and still think today that comets are dirty snowballs melting in the solar light. Well, there's no reason for electrical lighting in a dirty snowball. But the fact is that a lot of these comets are very illuminated in the ultraviolet light, in the visible spectrum, and in fact, Comet Holmes was lit up very brightly because of the electrical current passing through it. And this current was associated with the electrical discharge of the other planets, as I talked about. So once again, indicating the tremendous amount of electrical energy that is passing through the solar system, this coming down to Earth in the form of severe weather, winds, etc. And we will be seeing severe winds, that type of weather, on through the early part of December. You're going to see this, and I wouldn't be too surprised to see a late December, possibly a Christmas hurricane. Wouldn't that be interesting? 2007, and there's a very high possibility of having severe weather during that encounter where Earth and Mars and the comet are in an electrical alignment. So time will tell. Predicting the future is very difficult, but it is a time when the electrical conditions in the solar system would be ripe for severe weather, at least severe winds and storms, possibly snowstorms with high winds, that type of weather activity, centered around the date of December 22nd. It could be a few days earlier, it could be a few days later, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, the big picture, I've got about 10 minutes left in this broadcast. I want to talk about the big picture. The solar system is very active. These objects can come in at any time. Comet Holmes has been a member of our solar system for some time. Hale-Bopp was a new arrival. I've talked about other comets that were very bright. A comet called Hyakutake back in 1996 was the first comet ever to be measured with X-rays. Now it is understood that it is a common property of all comets. All comets have X-rays. And I found it interesting that throughout all of the hoopla of Comet Holmes, I know that NASA astronomers, and I know specifically which ones, have access to the Spitzer Space Telescope and other telescopes that would give us very different spectral readings of the comet, including X-rays. But none of this has been published. They could also use radio telescopes to determine the exact size of the nucleus, and I know they've taken this data, but it is not available to the public. So while you have one astronomer over here giving you a 2-mile radius for the nucleus of Comet Holmes, over here you have other astronomers with real data who are not releasing it. This is what I can determine from my position, having been in the scientific community, and I understand how science works and what the instruments will do, what kind of measurements they can make with the various type of instruments, and to know that those measurements have been made, but they're not being released to the public. Sometimes it's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying that is very important. So in the big picture, clearly we live in a dynamic solar system. Disinformation regarding this is paramount, and part of my educational process is not only educating you regarding science and the possibility of these objects coming into the solar system, and the fact that any of the large objects that come into the solar system would also take on the shape of a comet. They're going to discharge the solar capacitor, they're going to form a tail around them, or a large coma, as in the case of Comet Holmes, and they will look like a comet. And that's, let me go back to the Zeta Quack, as we call them, crazy days of the Planet X trying to make this a crazy topic back in the early 2000, before 2003, May 15th, 2003. They kept repeating it's going to look like a big orange ball in the sky. It's going to look like a big orange ball. And that is one of the biggest pieces of disinformation, because they wanted you to think that when you look up in the sky that Planet X would look like a big ball in the sky, and that's nothing could be farther from the truth. It's going to look like a large comet, and believe me, it won't be like Hale-Bopp, it won't be like Comet Holmes. This will be a comet that stretches across the entire sky, will be visible in the daytime, and will be obviously electrically active, will be zapping electrical discharges to the other planets. This is what Velikovsky talked about. And the ancients, the Colbran, all of the ancients' texts, or the Oralinda, all of the ancient texts that deal with this topic that they're trying to make into crazy topics today, all of these legitimate sources tell us one thing, that these big comets, believe me, I hope we don't see any in our lifetime or any of our children's lifetimes, but it's a fact of nature. And let me go on and talk about this. There's a lot of people out there who try and associate this and say that God is punishing the world, or that we're all sinners, or, you know, they try and attach this to a religious significance. And in a sense, there is a religious significance, because it drastically affects the human race. And it's a plan. It's the divine plan for how the solar system works. It's a divine plan to weed out the weak, the civilizations that don't make it. Let's put it that way. So there is a natural process here that gets rid of a certain element and hopefully preserves the good elements. And unfortunately, the human aspect of this is very unpredictable. But the other part about this, the thing I want to be very specific about, is these are natural events, just like a hurricane, like a tornado, like a cyclone, like high winds or straight line winds. These are natural events. They're part of how the solar system works. A big object coming into the solar system, becoming a giant comet, and either just passing through the solar system and causing damage, or if they become captured and become part of the solar system and eventually cause damage. Not all of these would cause damage to Earth. Some of them can, but remember there's this issue of action at a distance. Comet Holmes is the perfect example of causing action at a distance. And the point is that, and this is one of the original definitions in my work, showing that comets and extra solar system objects that come into the solar system can cause damage to Earth without hitting them, without hitting the Earth directly. We know that the large comet came by Mars, lifted off its atmosphere and oceans, and left us with the stark red planet with no atmosphere, no oceans. But it's very clear that Mars recently did have oceans and atmosphere. Very recently, probably just a few thousand years ago. This is also at the core issue of the Baal worshippers. There again, I don't have time on this show to go into that, but I want to be very specific about the Comet Holmes issue. It is very specific to Mars and very central to the Baal worshippers of modus operandi. Let's put it that way. And very much they do not want the public understanding these issues. That's why they want a set of watered-down imposters trying to promote them to bring you information about so-called electric universe. Now, just as a final ending note here, I defined the term electric universe in my early papers, and literally all the topics you find on the copycat sites, you will find in my papers defined in the work that I published throughout the decades previous to this. So the effort, obviously, is to take anything that I have done, including the archaeological work, identification of archaeological significant symbols or glyphs or patterns in archaeology, and explaining them relative to cometary phenomenon and the interaction of comets with planet Earth. A good example is Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent god of the night sky, who is a deity of the Mayans. And by the way, one of the other ploys that has been made recently was to associate me with the 2012, that the world is going to end in 2012. There is no truth to that. It is the biggest piece of garbage on the planet, but it's just another way, trying to quote the Mayan calendar or 2012 as the end of the world, it's just another way to divert the public's attention from the real issues associated with these objects. And now I am out of time for this special. I hope you find it informative, and join me weekly on my radio show for continued updates on these topics. This is Jim McCanny. This is my special two-hour commercial-free broadcast on Comet Holmes, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.